Let my mouth be full of your praise.
And your glory all the day long.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you resist those who are proud and give grace to those who are humble. Give us the humility of your Son, that we may embody the generosity of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Please be seated. And now we will hear our reading.
A reading from Proverbs. Do not put yourself forward in the king's presence, or stand in the place of the great. For it is better to be told, "Come up here," than to be put lower in the presence of a noble. The word of the Lord. Let us pray Psalm 112 responsively. Hallelujah! Happy are they who fear the Lord, and have great delight in God's commandments.
Their descendants will be mighty in the land. Their generation of the upright will be blessed.
Wealth and riches will be in their house, and their righteousness will last forever.
Light shines in the darkness for the upright. The righteous are merciful and full of compassion.
It is good for them to be generous in lending and to manage their affairs with justice. They will not be afraid of any evil rumors. Their heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord.
Their heart is established and will not shrink until they see their desire upon their enemies.
They have given freely to the poor, and their righteousness stands fast forever. They will hold up their head with honor. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from Hebrews. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison, as though you were in prison with them, those who are being tortured, as though you yourself were being tortured. Let marriage be held in honor by all, and let the marriage bed be kept undefiled, for God will judge fornicators and adulterers. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have. For he has said, "I will never leave you or forsake you." So we can say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me?" Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Through him, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that confess his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Be right. Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 14th chapter. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose their places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, give this person your place. And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you're invited to, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to one of those who had invited him, when you have given a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. So, Jesus has been invited to this real society party. And it's a society party with the leading citizens of perhaps and probably Jerusalem. Among them were the Pharisees, but there was all kinds of important people there. You probably had politicians, high priests, probably members from the Sanhedrin, all kinds of important people, and probably located in a beautiful home. And I can imagine that as the people came to this beautiful party, they were dressed in their finest, the ladies with their jewelries and in their gowns, and all the men in their purple linen cloaks. So they were dressed very nice and probably had all those gold rings on their fingers, everything, you know, to get real spiffed up for a party. And Jesus was the honored guest. Now, I would suppose he was the honored guest because he was the popular guy of the time, because as we well know in our history of Christianity, he does not become the popular guy at the end. So here he is, and everybody's getting ready to sit at the table. And you know how there's usually a head table, okay? And boy, everybody that is somebody sits at that head table. So everybody wants to be at the head table, but everybody's being really cool about it. You know, like, I don't really want to be up there. But you know, they all want to sit by Jesus. So Jesus is the last one coming into the room. And what does he do? He looks across, and he's not speaking to any one person, but kind of to everybody when he starts telling his story. And it's kind of that moment when you think, should have I really invited Jesus or not to this party? Because what he says, he says, why didn't you invite any of my friends? Because we know he hasn't been hanging out with all the Pharisees and all these people. And who were his friends? Prostitutes, tax collectors, you know, the people that were not normally invited to these big society parties. So he's asking this, and then he looks at the host. And can you imagine that Pharisee, or can you imagine yourself as the host dying 1,000 deaths? Like, oh my gosh. And I can imagine the host just kind of his lips pursing, his eyes getting tight, and his brows furrowing, and grabbing for that drink of water or wine or something and taking a sip, and thinking to himself, this is the last time I'm inviting Jesus to one of my parties. Seriously. I mean, it's embarrassing to be caught in a position like that. Why didn't you invite any of my friends? So what happens from that point? Well, I want to take you to something that happened in my past. My dad and mom, they're both have passed now, but great mom and dad. And they had such different backgrounds. My mother was very society. Her dad was a commander in the Navy, and my mom was always dressed to a T, the matching hat, matching purse, and she'd just freak sometimes if she saw me now. But she was matched to the T. My dad, on the other hand, was from a very poor family. His dad died when he was 3, and he lived on a ranch in South Dakota. He always had, you know, the 5 o'clock shadow, and
He was so colorblind, my mom used to have to label all of his suits or anything that he wore. Well, my dad ended up being one of the bosses. He was in civil service up at Vandenberg Air Force Base. And he got invited. They were having a big, I think it was a Christmas party, like a big office party. And so they were invited. And so my mom's first question is, you know, what kind of party is it? You know, is it black tie? Is it this? Is it that? And my dad goes, oh, no, I'm pretty sure it's casual. So my dad's in a polo shirt, didn't even wear a sports coat or tie or anything. Of course, my mom always looks like she's a million bucks no matter what outfit she had on. So she goes, and they go to this party. Every guy at this party had a tie, a suit and tie on, except for my father, who was the boss. So my mom, to say the least, was not really pleased. She was pretty, pretty upset. These expectations that we have of certain people. I'll get back to this story in a little bit. But I want you to realize, and I want you to hear the theme of this scripture, and it was even in this opening hymn that we spoke of, or that we sang, is that Jesus doesn't say, which the biggest virtue for all of us in Christianity is to love one another, but Jesus doesn't say this in the scripture. What he's talking about in this scripture is humility. And he says that you have to be humble like a little child. Humble like a little child. And who of all of us, a little child has no conceit, no pride. They're not worried about getting ahead or who's better. And so in this particular case, it's not even their strong faith as a little child. It's the humility, the natural humility that comes with being a child. Important thing to remember, because the opposite of humility is conceit and pride. And our ancient church scholars tell us pride was one of the first of the seven deadly sins. It led to all the other evil. Envy, gluttony, led to all of those other ones. So sometimes knowing what the opposite of a word is helps us to define it. So this pride that a lot of times we don't even see within ourselves, but it's there. We try to choke it down sometimes, but sometimes it's really hard. I know it is for me sometimes too. But humility, because what happens if you don't truly feel this psychological, down in the depth of your soul, awareness of what humility is, it usually causes division. And that's the hardest thing, for us to be separated from God or separated from one another. Even the greatest junior high groups will tell you what a clique is. Everybody knows what a clique is. And when you ask the kids, what's a clique? Usually they'll tell you, or the ones that I've talked to when we were at confirmation camp together and stuff, was that it's the popular kids. And then when you ask them, well, what happens when they have these cliques, these groups? And they'll say, it makes you feel bad. It separates us. We're not together anymore. We're not in a community anymore. That's one of the wonderful things about confirmation camp, or going to camp in situations like that. Even though the kids can kind of go off into different groupings, it's really hard in a week's period of time to develop a clique, unless they already went up there as one. When that happens too, I'm sure. But most people in churches are from various schools. But even kids get this. So it doesn't really matter if you're in seventh grade, or if you're 17, or if you're 70 years old. If you let pride get in the way, if you truly don't get what humility is, then division occurs. And it doesn't mean that we all have to be the same. I'm not saying that at all. But just this humility and this understanding. Humility is mentioned quite a bit in this particular scripture passage. So I would venture to say, when you hear it quite a bit, that it's pretty important to Jesus. And so it should be pretty important to us. So to be humble, does it mean to be inferior? To be the mouse in the corner? To not stand up and say anything? No. Does it mean that you're afraid to, you know, speak your piece when certain things come up, or that you have to compare yourself to others and take a cut lower on the scale? It doesn't mean any of those things. humility again. It's feeling and knowing that awareness in your soul to be humble, to be totally clear on it. Look at what the opposite of pride is. It's very easy for us to pick up people who are conceited or proud. A lot of times those individuals have selfishness in their character also. And there's certain things certainly you should be proud of. But you know it's over the edge when you're using, and listen to this carefully, when you're using all of the gifts that who gave you? God gave you. When you're using all the gifts that God gave you to measure yourself according to other people. Because you know that that's not what God gave you those gifts for. Everybody has their different gifts. To have the faith of a little child, those are who are humble. And Jesus says this throughout the scriptures in all the different gospels. To be humble like a little child. And I don't think it's the faith of the little child. In this particular scripture, it's the humility, the innocence. It doesn't really begin until we start school, when we want to one-up or we want to be better than somebody. I think it's important, too, that it's not only the psychological, and this next one's the tough push. It's that social, those social barriers. And it's hard for me, I'll tell you, because I feel much more comfortable with people who are pretty much the same as me, which I'm sure all of us feel that way. But Jesus is trying to turn our world upside down here. And Jesus is trying to tell us, look, you don't get to be around the people you're already comfortable with. If you're a Christian, you need to push that envelope for yourself. You need to get out among people who need to hear that word. You need to love and be in relationship with all kinds of people, which means the homeless guy that you pass on the corner all the time, or someone who's stricken with AIDS and you might be terrified of that particular disease, or cancer. You need to expose yourself to all those kinds of people is what Jesus is telling us. I sometimes wonder if there was this huge party that Jesus came to, one of these gala fundraisers that a lot of our celebrities have, or even some of us have in our own society way here in San Diego. What an awesome and wonderful thing to raise monies. But how often do you see the people they're raising the monies for at those particular events? Now, I see it happening a little bit more nowadays. But usually, we hang out with everybody we feel comfortable with and raise the money and talk about how wonderful we're being. But are we really connecting with those people? And that's not to say that it's a wrong thing to raise the money and help them. That is half of what's going on. Jesus is asking us to take that next step. Because how can we really sympathize or know unless we walk with that person? You don't have to walk in their shoes necessarily, but to walk with them. It's tough. It's hard, like I told the kids. I know all of us, you know, it's like, party. Of course, most of the kids want to invite everybody, and you're like, okay, the budget is. And that's fine. I mean, I understand that. I was the same way with my sons growing up. But to make sure that we coach that with making them understand, though, that what's the reason we're leaving someone out? It's not because we don't like them. It's not because they're not, you know, as good. It's just, I think, very important as we go through life now to really define that to children. I cannot tell you how I've been working with the college campuses and with the young adults. And if people haven't ever traveled outside of our country, how narrow and limited the view of those young adults are, of what cultures are, and how embarrassing sometimes it is, even when I've traveled with one of my sons to a different country, that it's like, you know, what do you mean there's, you know, no hot water here? What do you mean there's, you know, I can't get a hamburger? I mean, they believe, I mean, McDonald's should be everywhere, even in Africa, you know, I mean, in the middle of the Congo or wherever. Just some of these expectations are unreal. Humility, to accept people right where they're at and to know. I have to tell you, my father was probably one of the most humblest people I ever knew. It was my honor, my humble, being humbled and honored to baptize my father at age 85, and then he died the next year. He was a wonderful man, and my mom was too. She was just a little bit more society than my dad, but she realized how much my dad was loved, because the party I told you about earlier where everyone had a tie on, by the end of the night, not one guy had a tie on in the party. They loved my dad so much and knew where my mom was at that they all took their ties off. Talk about adjusting to different social situations. A wonderful way, and a wonderful way to go. But just always remember, when you're holding an event or when you're doing something, remember the gifts, all the gifts that we have are from God. So when you're about to feel a little puffed up about something, my best is my son's fiance has one of those African parrots, and he just, like, when the women come in the room, he just starts preening and his chest goes out. You know, I thought, talk about conceit. But when you feel that in yourself, look to yourself and remember who gave you all the gifts you had and what the message that his son taught us. For to be humble is to be exalted. Amen.